Thanks for staying with us this morning. I'm glad everybody's up bright and early. I want to remind everybody that we've got two really important fundraisers coming up. In September on the 6th, Beauty from Ashes Ranch will be having their fundraiser at Star Pass. And it's a beautiful location. It's a worthy cause. I want you to go to beautyfromashesranch.org to buy your tickets and learn more about their event. And Law Matters has an event coming up. We're going to be doing a fundraiser on the 8th of September. And it's a Sunday brunch, and Eric Bauer will be there to talk about sex trafficking and going after the sex trafficking empire, Backpage, and how the FBI takedown of Backpage affected the investigation and everything that's going on with sex trafficking. You're going to want to be there. Go to lawmatters1030.org to buy your tickets. And with that said, I'd like to introduce today's guests. We have Tucson Police Department Detectives Jennifer Crawford and Gil Martinez. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
I want to know a little bit. I know Jennifer. She's been on the show a bazillion times. Gil, this is your first time on the show.
It is.
How long have you been on the department?
I've been with Tucson Police since 2005, but I've been a police officer about 18 years now.
Who were you with before then?
University of Arizona Police Department.
All right. Well, I thought you looked familiar. Okay. So what got you involved in this particular department that we're going to start talking about? Because I know you were involved with sex trafficking for a while. Like Jennifer, that's how I met Jennifer.
Yes. Well, in 2012, I was assigned to this squad as an officer, which was the Street Crimes Interdiction Unit. And at that time, we were doing violent crime, home invaders, things of that sort, which also encompassed sex trafficking. In 2016, when our department reorganized, I went back to patrol. And then later that year, I was promoted to detective. So I believe it was 2017, there was an opening in the squad, and so I came back over.
Very cool. Do you like it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You like what you do?
Yes, yeah. I do.
And for those who haven't met Jennifer before, how long have you been on the department?
Almost 22 years now.
Oh, wow. You don't even look like you're 22 years old. That's a long time. And I know you've worked really hard in the sex trafficking portion of it, but now you've got a new campaign that's come up. What are we going to talk about today?
We do. So we're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to talk about some of our social media awareness classes and cases and things that go on. We try to do a lot of awareness to the parents. Social media is such a big issue nowadays. Obviously, it seems like everybody has a phone. I was laughing. I saw a car commercial actually yesterday where you wouldn't know it's for a car, but everybody has their heads down and they're on their phones, you know, as like this car is going by and they pass by a playground. All the kids are on the playground, but they're on their phones. It's just, you know, that's the technology nowadays. Everybody is on their phones. So people need to really be aware, particularly parents, about what their kids are being exposed to. And unfortunately, as with anything, you know, there's a dark side of social media, which can relate obviously to sex trafficking, which we, of course, have talked about. Cyberbullying, and then our unit has taken on a new task involving hate and bias crimes, which also can have a correlation effect with social media as well. And so we're going to talk about that today also.
Okay, very cool. You're talking about bullying. Does bullying in the police departments, I know online you'll find a definition of bullying, but does the police have a definition of what bullying is?
You know, I don't really know, to be honest. I mean, we don't get really a lot of bullying cases that come our way, or actually any. We haven't had any direct, you know, bullying. It's usually going to be the reason for whatever happened. So if there's a victim that was, let's say, assaulted or extorted or something like that, usually
it's the one step above that.
You find that out when you're investigating whatever crime happened. You'll find out that maybe the bullying was the start of it or the reason for it.
Okay. Then Do you go and you're talking about classes that you hold? Where are these classes held and how can people get involved with that?
So normally we just started them, I think probably about last year, and we had some really good feedback. And what they are is their social media awareness and dangers for parents or any adults that work with kids is primarily our target audience. And so we have been holding them at our Westside substation, which is located at 1310 West Miracle Mile. We just had one a couple months ago at the beginning of the summer because, of course, kids were going to be out of school. Prime time for predators, you know, to be looking for targets, unfortunately. And then we'll probably have another one here in the next within the next month or two as well, just with kids going back to school. And we cover a variety of topics when we do those classes.
So if people want to keep up on when these classes are, where can they go on your website?
I would say the best thing, so we are still Saturn. I know I've been on here a lot representing Saturn, which we still have. For those that don't know, Saturn was a federally funded grant task force that stood for Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network. We still have that. It's just more of a grassroots local level now. We no longer have federal funding that ended in March. So we have a Facebook page under Saturn, and most of the announcements I will make will be on there with Eventbrite links to sign up.
Okay, Bright links. That, I was trying to think of the name of that the other day, and I couldn't come up with it.
Yeah, the Eventbrite. And so what we did to talk about, you know, for parents who are worried, you know, it's not a sex education class. We're not here to teach your kids about that. That's, you know, your job. We do touch a little bit on sex trafficking because obviously a lot of people don't really know what it is. And we talk about the correlation between that and social media. We also talk about the dangers that are out there. We talk about what's going on in Tucson, trends that we're seeing, things that are going on with our youth. We talk about the emojis and like what they're really meaning. A lot of kids and adults for that matter, you know, love to use emojis nowadays, especially the kids, and kind of basically what their secret meaning is. Slang terms, you know, a lot of times a parent might pick up a phone and they might just see something that looks like, you know, gibberish, or maybe they think it's a text that was put in wrong. Well, more than likely, that text probably means something else. It's kind of like a secret language. So we teach them to be aware of what is out there and what kids are using to communicate so that they can better become better aware and prevent, hopefully prevent something from happening.
Become better parents, because if Absolutely. You don't know what you don't know, this is part of the problem.
Right. And saying that your child, you know, doesn't have a social media account or they don't have a phone, you know, it just isn't going to cut it nowadays, because I guarantee you, you might think that they don't have one, but they have one. I mean, I can log on, you know, to Detective Martinez's phone and log on to my accounts through his phone. You know, you can go to the libraries now, you know, McDonald's, Starbucks, anywhere there's free Wi-Fi, and just hop on.
Yeah, you don't need a telephone to have an account.
You know, so yeah. So parents who think that their kids, you know, aren't using this stuff or being exposed to it, is it's just very naive, and they need to know what's going on.
I think one of the things I learned from you, and it came in handy when, I can't remember what show we were doing, but we had some kids in here, and I didn't understand what they were saying, so I looked up the Urban Dictionary, and I think every parent should look it up and read it, because it's an eye-opener.
Absolutely. We teach that in our classes. You know, I even laugh that if I, you know, we'll get cases in that something will come on and maybe we don't know what that is. You just go to Urban Dictionary and look it up.
And find out what's going on in your area. Eventbrite, do you still use Eventbrite to talk about the different, do they announce things on that, or is it just the website?
We will. So I'll usually make an Eventbrite link for tickets.
Okay.
And that's just for us to keep track of like a head count.
So, you know.
But they could search Eventbrite as well, but probably the easiest way is to go to our Facebook page.
Okay, which is?
Saturn.
Just Saturn.
S-A-A-T-U-R-N.
Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay, what types of bullying are there? What do you teach people? I mean, some people feel just because they made a comment on, you know, some website or news feed, that's not bullying, but sometimes it is.
Well, so we don't really do a lot of teaching, to be honest with you, right now on like the cyberbullying stuff, but it's become a much bigger trend, I guess. In fact, there was an article, actually it was on Good Morning America yesterday, I saw, where they were talking about the trend of how girls are being more bullied nowadays than boys in schools, and it's from their own peers. You know, kind of going back to that Mean Girls movie with Lindsay Lohan, that's kind of the trend that's popping up again. And that I think it was like approximately like 20%, you know, of girls have been reported that they have been bullied. And it's through social media or due to social media posts. So kids will post stuff that's online. And then, of course, you know, you're going to get kids that make nasty comments or make fun of them, or well, maybe get a hold of something that somebody posted and try to extort them, which can fall into a little bit more of like sextortion area. That's usually where somebody is maybe has a picture or a video of somebody that might be inappropriate, and then they post it online and they try to extort something from them, either money or get them to do something. But that can also overlap, you know, obviously into bullying as well.
Wow. Okay. I want to get into that a little bit when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Okay. Thanks for staying with us. We're going to talk a little bit about cyberbullying, but I want to go back to sextortion a little bit. Explain to our listeners what that is.
So sextortion is somewhat of a new term. If most people are probably familiar with sexting. Sexting is where basically you're texting people, you know, kind of that dirty talk, that inappropriate talk usually involves, you know, sexual conversation. So another trend that we've seen, especially with our sex trafficking or our internet crime against children, like child pornography area, is if someone is communicating with maybe a potential predator, although nowadays it doesn't even have to be that, you know, it can even be your boyfriend. They will take pictures that have been sent to them, inappropriate pictures or sexual pictures, and they will use them against them. So maybe they have a bad breakup or they don't like somebody. Someone will get a hold of that photo, or they're trying to entice someone to do something. They will use that photo or that video against them by saying, well, if you don't do this for me, I will post this picture on your Facebook or I'll put it on your Instagram and everybody's going to find out about it. You know, or if you know it's a bad breakup, they'll use that and be like, well, if you don't do this for me, I'm going to show this to your parents or your school. And they might ask for money. They might be just trying to get a person to do something for them. And so it can lead to very exploitive situations, potentially.
Like blackmail, but it's a bullying technique.
Right, sure. And that's exactly what it is. It's basically extortion, only they're using these sexual texts and or videos to get what they want or get someone to do something that they wouldn't normally do.
There was a movie star that was threatened, we're going to put these naked pictures of you online. So she put them on herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, hats off to you. I mean.
And that's why we teach, you know, even our kids, you know, you got to be very careful. Nothing, once you send that photo or that video, I mean,
it's gone.
It's out there. You can't get it back. And you have, you know, and it might be that relationship that's good and it's your boyfriend and that's fine. You know, you're sharing those pictures with him. But, you know, potentially what happens if things go bad? Now that person has all this stuff that they could unfortunately use against you. You know, and yeah.
I remember the show when I found out that teenagers are taking naked pictures of themselves and sending them out, and there was a lot of dead air time because I was shocked. It's like, what? You know, who does that? But I guess it happens. Okay, when you get a case where people are the cyberbullying and everything, how do you go about investigating this?
So we haven't had one yet, so it would be, you know, somewhat new for us. I mean, cyberbullying is basically the use of electronic communication to bully another person. And right. So that would be typically sending messages that are either intimidating or threatening content. And so the first thing we would obviously have to do, there would be a report made, and then we would investigate, well, you know, what did they receive? Was it a letter? Was it a text message? Was it a post on their social media account? And then we would have to go from there. Obviously, a lot of times we can get search warrants. We need to preserve that evidence just like anything else. And so it would become maybe difficult if things are on, you know, social media that are not saved or texting applications that people use nowadays where you can have anonymous conversations. So it could be potentially a very hard investigation to prove, potentially.
Aren't there apps where they can take a picture of something and it disappears after a few seconds?
Yeah.
And does it disappear, or does it just disappear from their phone? Like the person who took that picture and sends it, does it disappear from their phone as well?
No, if you take a picture with your phone, it should be on your phone, depending, I guess, on what you're using. I mean, there's certainly apps change every day that become more and more, quote, anonymous, you know, that people use for that type of stuff. So I don't want to say, you know, absolutely, you know, that person would have it, but If you're taking it with your phone, you should have it. But if you're using some sort of an app, the potential is it might not be saved, I guess, is probably a fair thing to say.
Okay. I got an email 2 days ago from a company I do business with, and they said, somebody's trying to break into your account. Here's the IP address. And I'm like, why are you sending me the IP address? I have no way of knowing what to do with that. Do you know what to do with an IP address?
Yeah, so this is something we can potentially track. It just involves usually, you know, subpoenas or search warrants, things like that. It's not something that immediately, like, we can...
Like, I can put it just in Google and look it up.
You know, so, you know, there are some things that potentially maybe you might be able to do that, but, you know, we obviously have certain steps that we have to follow, so...
Okay.
It's usually not an instantaneous result in all cases.
There are websites that you can go to and type in an IP address, and it will give you certain types of locations. It might tell you who the provider is or the maybe area that it might be into.
Okay. Do you know any of those? Because I want to know who's trying to get into my account.
Not off the top of my head, but I can I can look them up for you, definitely.
Oh, that'd be cool. Because I called the company. I said, what the heck is this? And they said, well, somebody's trying to hack in. And I'm like,
The other thing to be aware of,
yeah, there's no kidding.
A lot of spoofing. So you can also you could block like your IP address. So there's a lot of that going on if people really know what they're doing. Like, so if we like trace something, it will bounce. You know, you've probably seen in the movies where it can bounce like all over the world.
Right.
I mean, there's that technology too, where you can really never track something. So.
Well, that's comforting.
And that's great. Way above my level of knowledge.
Okay. When you find people that are taunting other people, can this be considered a form of bullying?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, cyberbullying, it can include, you know, sending or posting negative or harmful false messages, like on, you know, social media sites. It could be someone else causing someone, like, basically to be embarrassed, posting embarrassing stuff about that person or putting embarrassing information on them that causes them to be humiliated or something like that. And sometimes it can cross the line, you know, into criminal behavior, you know, potentially, depending on what the situation is. The most common places for cyberbullying are going to be social media. You're going to be your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat. Obviously, text messages, anything like that. It can be email. Anything that is done electronically is considered cyberbullying versus, you know, making fun of somebody in person and taunting that person, you know, face to face. And that's, I think, the biggest trend is because it's taken away that face to face. People feel that they are more enabled to do that. You know,
it's a safer environment.
I mean, for that person, and you know, they're chicken basically. Maybe they would never say that to that person's face, but you know, when they're at home hiding behind their computer or their phone, it makes it more easy for them to pick on somebody. Unfortunately,
well, like that. I know there's an active court case going on where the young lady kept telling her boyfriend to just kill yourself, and he did. I was just like, oh my God. And that's really taking it beyond. And I don't know how she did it or what their relationship was, but it's just so sad that youth will actually listen to their peers to that extent. How do you, as a parent, get over this? How do you help your kid be themselves and, you know, not listen to... I remember my parents, well, if they jump off a bridge, are you? Well, maybe.
I mean, I think it comes back some of our basic stuff in our social media class, and not even reference cyberbullying, but just in general is, you know, you have to think about what you post. When you post something, you know, when kids are posting something, or adults for that matter, is this going to attract something I do want, or is this going to attract something I don't want?
Right.
You know, very simple, but unfortunately, I think we all know kids don't usually think that clearly in the moment.
There's supposed to be an app coming out or something coming out that'll help people. If you post this, it'll come on and say, do you really want to post this? Then I don't know if it reads your content or if how it works, but I heard that on the Good Morning America too. There was like, you know, it's kind of a safety get. Think about what you're posting
right
before you post it.
Oh, nice.
Ingrid, thanks for listening to the show. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I'd like to know if the level of expertise in using photos and making making a film, say, is to the point where, well, supposing I'm giving a speech and it's put on YouTube, could somebody use my face and maybe hands and shoulders as I'm speaking and gesticulating, and use those images and put that in some other kind of setting that's something I wouldn't want.
Sure.
Is that going on?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we haven't had any personal experience as far as like investigations with that. But I mean, yeah, that's certainly something potentially. Anything that you put out, whether it's a video or photo, if you post it on a public site, it's considered public and other people have access to it. You know, there are certain people that are obviously very smart and can use photos and manipulate them and into different images or different content. And so we haven't, I haven't had any direct experience with that in our investigations. You know, maybe our internet crime department has, but they deal mainly with, you know, obviously children and things like that. But I mean, there are people obviously that are smart enough to do that kind of, you know, manipulation with stuff.
I guess we have to be extremely cautious about getting our image online and so forth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ingrid. Okay. Threatening people like this young lady who kept telling her boyfriend to go kill himself. Do you know anything about that case? Because I really don't. I just know the highlight of what the news told us.
I don't. I've only been kind of following the news, you know, as well. I don't actually know a whole lot of detail about it.
But this is something that can result from bullying.
Oh, definitely.
And, absolutely. You know, the three big things for kids is all of this stuff leads to substance abuse for them, self-harm, and then obviously potentially suicide, you know, and the kids that are in school that are identify as LGBTQ are even at a higher risk for that because, you know, of maybe their relationships and stuff like that. They won't maybe necessarily have a parent to turn to because maybe the parent doesn't know about, you know, their lifestyle yet or anything or what
or
their
they
choices
feel they
are.
They won't be approved of.
Right.
If they
and
come
so
home.
It's even worse for them is they don't have that family support to be able to report it, you know, to their mom or dad because, you know, the parent doesn't even know about what's going on with them. And so they are even at a higher risk for those types of things, especially suicide and self-harm.
I can't imagine holding all this in and not being able to share or talk with somebody. And I'm learning because a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to have some youth on who, you know, could identify with this and talk about the bullying aspect and how they relate to their peers in the community that they're in, high school kids. And it was very difficult because a lot of them were like, you know, well, we don't want to talk about it. And if you can't talk about it, you're holding it in. And that has to be really, really difficult. So hopefully I'll be able to work through a little bit of this with these kids and be able to bring some of them on to help educate us. Because I think a lot of this is the lack of education.
Oh, yeah.
People don't realize, you know. And if you don't know what you don't know, that's why we hold classes. That's why we're doing this fundraiser with Eric Bauer coming in. That's why we want to help people educate yourself. I had a parent tell me my kids live at home, so they're not going to be sex trafficked. Well, I know you're laughing because that's not the case. You can be sex trafficked in any situation. So how long have you been working in sex trafficking, Gil?
Oh, since, we were doing it in 2012, not at the level that they started doing it once they got the grant. And then the last couple of years as a detective.
Does it require a grant? I mean, should we be writing grants so that you guys can continue with this job?
I mean, it definitely helps as far as us doing operations and getting other people involved. But we were doing it, and we still do it from time to time. But before we had the grant, we were actually doing it actually at a lower level than what we were at once we had the grant.
So who got the grant? Was it Saturn or was it TPD?
So it was Tucson Police Department, and then Saturn was just the acronym that they came up with to basically name the task force.
And to be able to do this, do you have an acronym for the bullying? Because I know you've got a new program.
I don't. Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up. No, we don't. So since the task force ended, our unit has just kind of shifted gears. So basically what happened is this: the Tucson Police Department didn't put back in for the federal grant because they wanted us to focus on some other things. We're certainly still involved with sex trafficking, obviously, and we investigate
those. It's not going away.
Yeah, cases. So it's not to say that we don't focus on them, but just as a full-time task force. Obviously, there was other things coming in that needed our attention. And so what we started doing in our unit is we are the focus now for hate and bias crimes.
So you evolve as the crimes evolve.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot. And it's still obviously stuff that's happening in the community, community based. It's about awareness still, you know, and some of that stuff, you know, sometimes it intertwines with the other things. So.
Right. And I've invited the domestic violence people to come to our fundraiser because with sex trafficking, it just goes hand in hand that one relates to the other. And so much of it overlaps.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. I want to touch a little bit on what actually is hate and bias crime. What constitutes this? Okay, Gail, you're on the spot.
So it's basically a predetermined decision by somebody that's they already have these kind of problems where they're hateful towards a certain groups of people, whether that be race, nationality, if they're LGBTQ, and then they act on it, whether that be an assault, threats, or something like that. That would be a hate crime.
Okay, so it's something that's premeditated.
Pretty much, yeah. So there has to be something. It just can't be hateful speech or something like that that would normally come from somebody who doesn't have that predisposition for hate.
Give me some examples.
Well, say somebody who's part of like a larger group like the KKK or something like that, and they're actively joined in something like that, and then they go and they assault somebody who's part of a minority group or LGBTQ, and that would be something that would be a hate and bias crime. If you're just involved in a fight and you use some hateful language, but there's nothing to show that you're actually involved in any type of you're predisposed for hateful stuff, it doesn't mean that that's actually a hate crime.
Okay, so there's like a thin line that separates.
There definitely is, yeah. There's federal requirements to that that we're looking at to actually that they report on every, I think, month or quarterly for hate crimes.
To see how, if they're more or less in this area, is it a geographic thing?
I think that it's something that's kind of reported all over the country. And each police department is responsible for making those types of reports, whether it's bigger in some areas, and I'm sure it is, than here. And obviously, we're pretty much limited in what we get here in Tucson.
Okay. I remember visiting New Orleans and crossing where the cathedral is, crossing that little mall area and having people yell things at me that I was Jewish, and I mean, I'm not Jewish, but they thought I was, and they said some really hateful things to me, and I was like, oh my God, this is what people put up with.
Yeah.
That's just appalling.
And some of that falls under freedom of speech, unfortunately.
Yes.
So they can say those type of things, but once they make that overt act as far as a threat or assault or something like that, then that's when it would
becomes a crime and you can do something about
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Okay. Of course, we haven't seen a lot of that here in Tucson.
No, we have not.
Well, that's good. That's very good.
I think Tucson is, we've talked to people, is, you know, relatively a safe place, you know, regarding that. They will track stuff, you know, within the city of Tucson, you know, to see, you know, what areas, if there's any problem stuff, you know, and like Detective Martinez said, obviously, you know, we report to the FBI. And as far as like the bias crime incidents, they fall under three categories with Tucson police, which is the malicious harassment, you know, which he talked about. You have the crimes with bias elements that during the commission of a crime, you know, some things are made. And then, as he just said, the non-criminal bias incident, which is like the freedom of speech, where, you know, it's derogatory language that may be, you know, kind of offensive and hurtful, but obviously it falls under, you know, freedom of speech. And so they try to kind of track, you know, all of that just to see what's going on.
Well, that brings you to, you know, you have the right to say it, but should you say it?
Exactly.
You know, everybody's entitled to their own feelings, but people need to think before they open their bazoo and, you know, start spewing what's on their mind, because it's not always what's on everybody else's mind. It can be pretty appalling. What examples do you have of people just freedom of speech type rhetoric? And I remember on the U of A campus not that long ago, there was a young man, this is going back a few years, And he was talking about the way girls dress, they deserve to be raped or something like that. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I was just like, wow, that's your opinion. And you've got a right to voice it, but good grief.
Yeah, and the same thing goes for some of the hate groups that we all know of. You know, they can come out and they can go on forums and they can go like places like the U of A and say what they want to say, and nobody wants to hear it. But unfortunately, they do have that freedom of speech.
Whatever happened to him? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I think he was banned from the U of A campus at one point, but I don't know what happened to him ultimately.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I imagine he has not stopped what he's doing. And everybody has an opinion, but sometimes you should keep it to yourself. You'd be amazed how many times I keep my opinion to myself on the radio. Wow. Okay, let's get into the physical bullying portion of this.
Well, so what we want to, so to bring up just on top of that, so what we have developed, and Chet Martinez can talk a little bit more about it, is we're instituting what's called Tucson Police Department Safe Place. And it's basically in support of, like, you know, any hate and bias crimes, or it could even be, you know, to prevent bullying, because the bullying could lead, you know, to that other stuff, you know, especially with, you know, the LGBTQ community, especially youth. They have a much higher percentage of being bullied, you know, than their other peers do in school. And so it kind of, the correlations there all overlap. And so they brought up Safe Place here in Tucson, which we would like to get the entire community involved with, you know, just as a way to help maybe prevent some stuff and offer, you know, community support in that area.
I know the QTs have these Safe Place signs up in their lots, their parking lots. So when you pull in, at first I learned from you, Jennifer, what it meant, because I had never, you know, I saw the sign, but I didn't know what it meant. But if you've got a problem or you're being, you know, you're in a bad situation, you can go there and they'll make sure you're safe and call the police.
Right.
And those are actually two different programs. The you see the yellow house.
Right.
That's a Safe Place on it. And this is actually like a police badge with a rainbow on it, signifying the LGBTQ on it. So, and that was actually created in Seattle. But they're essentially the same thing. It's basically a place to go to where you will be safe, and they'll call authorities in order to come and give you assistance.
I know you said before the program started, you said this program came down from Seattle. Tell us what you know about what's going on in Seattle, because I know you're going back in a couple of weeks.
So there's a Seattle Police Department officer. He was basically a liaison for the LGBTQ community. He basically started this in 2014, and they started enacting it in 2015. Tucson police actually went up there and they shadowed him in 2016, and it became a thing that the downtown district was doing at that time. And since then, people have kind of moved around and kind of know what follow through had gone through with it. So now we're starting to basically try to restart that going again.
It sounds like a really good program. And we want people to recognize the symbol when they see it, to understand what it is. Where can they see the symbol? I know you sent me a copy of it.
If the businesses that are involved right now, it's mainly down 4th Avenue that these businesses that are involved with. And that's kind of where we're starting point's at. And we want to kind of get that going with all businesses, including schools. But they're usually, it's a decal that, again, with the Safe Place logo on it. And it's usually displayed in the business window about 3 to 5 feet off the ground.
Okay. Can you send that to me so I can put it on my website?
I can. And I can also post it on our Saturn page as well.
So
just
people
for people
can,
to take a look at that way, like they'll get a visual if they're wondering what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people need to check out the Saturn page, because there is just a wealth of information there about several different issues. And people need to be aware of that. And that's what we're trying to do, educate the community.
Yeah.
So we can be a safer place.
And there is a link to that on our Tucson Police Department website also.
What, the Saturn link?
For Safe Place.
The Safe Place,
yes,
link?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the Tucson Police Department itself has a Facebook page. So it's probably there. And if it's not, we can make sure that it's actually put up there as well. That might be an easy place for it to be seen as well.
Okay. We've got another caller on the line. Andrea?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I wanted to say, you know, go ahead.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, absolutely. I just let a few people know, and it's like, hey, you guys need to tune in. It's an important show. You need to listen every week. So, you know, I've taught my kids that, you know, just like when you're speaking, once those words come out of your mouth, you can't take them back.
Can't unring the bell.
The same goes for when you take a picture. It's out there forever. And getting it, you know, first of all, don't participate in anything that you shouldn't be participating in. But I always say, you know, some parents are more vigilant and more attentive to what their kids are doing than some parents are. So I always try and tell my kids, you know, if there's ever a situation, you know, you need to be able to step up and help your friend out and give them advice. So I had a question on something that you said earlier at the beginning of the show is that, you know, some kids use this as a way to threaten other kids or, you know, extortion or something like that. Now, if the, like that one actress who said, well, I'll just post it myself. But if a kid, a young person, a minority, is a child that's under 18, if someone is threatening them that way, can they go to law enforcement and say, hey, this kid is has these pictures and he's threatening me? Can charges be filed or what can be done in a situation like that?
Yes, first, absolutely, you can make a police report, and I would encourage you to or anyone to do that if that's occurring. What happens from there, it's a little hard for me to speculate, you know, depending, it would depend on like what the content, you know, of the images were or the content of what was being said, and then like what was going on from the other person as far as what they were trying to get from them. And so there's a lot of different dynamics. Potentially, yes, there could be a crime where they could be arrested, and then whether or not it would be a misdemeanor level or a felony would again just depend on the content and like actions that were taken. But absolutely, just report it to the police if something like that is going on, and then you know, they'll be able to better explain from there, the investigators, what may or may not happen with that case depending on what they find.
Because I want to be able to empower a child, you know, if my kids' friends or themselves, empower them to say, you can't do this to me. You know, you can't take advantage of me in this situation or by doing this. And just knowing that information, you know, I can teach my kids now. It's like, hey, if this ever happens, you know, they can actually go to law enforcement and turn the situation around.
Right. And if it's something at schools too, you know, report at the schools level too. They're very good. A lot of them, they see this stuff, unfortunately, very frequently. We get a lot of calls from the schools where a student has reported some type of behavior, and then the school will and then turn call 911.
Awesome. Well, thank you for all that you guys are doing. Totally appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Is this something that if they report it to the school automatically calls the police department, or is it up to their discretion?
I would say it's probably up to their discretion, depending on the content. Certainly there are, you know, mandatory reportings for certain things. So it probably depends on what is being reported to them.
Okay. Just curious. And that goes for public school or private school, right?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a few. Thanks for staying with us. Our guests today are Detective Jennifer Crawford and Gil Martinez from Tucson Police Department. And we're talking about bullying and hate crimes and bias crimes. And I want to go a little further into what you guys are doing with this new program and how you're getting the message out there. But before we go off the air, I want you to give us contact information too. So if people have more questions, they can come to you. Give them your cell number.
I feel like I give it out all the time anyway.
So tell us what this program is about and how you're getting it out to the community.
So we're fairly new into this. Right now, myself and Detective Dana Davis Richardson are going to go up to Seattle and shadow James Ritter, who created this program. It has actually been kind of evolved since it was initially enacted in 2014. To also include all people that are victims of bias crimes. Which is everybody, exactly. So religion, race, whatever. So anybody who would see that sticker would be able to go in there and seek help. And it was created because he noticed that people, you know, obviously in minorities and the LGBTQ community, that there was underreporting in those communities. So, and that's why he created it. So we're going to go up there. We're going to shadow him a little bit and see exactly how he does things. Right now, like I said, we're kind of focusing on the 4th Avenue Merchants and trying to get it started there. But we do have a website, our email address right now. It's hatecrimes at tucsonaz.gov. And if anybody wants to get involved, if any businesses want to get involved, any schools that are listening right now, they can definitely email us. We're taking those down right now. We're going to put together a PowerPoint and some training, and that way we can go out there and we can establish that they're part of this program and get them started.
And get people on board, because the more people you have on board, the better off the program is. And
definitely.
Knowledge is power. I can't say it enough. And it used to make me nuts when we were doing the shows on sex trafficking, when people would say, oh, I don't have to worry about that. My kids are over here or over there or living at home. And I'm just like, everybody has to worry about that. You need to know what to watch for. And with bullying, and people don't realize maybe some of these, read Urban Dictionary. If people don't realize what some of these acronyms are and how mean some of them can be when their kids are talking with other people, they need to really help be an example too. I think I've found that sometimes parents aren't the example they should be for their kids. And, you know, the right. apple, you know, the acorn from the tree type scenario. So
that's one of our tips, you know, is at the very end of our presentation that we do is, you know, lead by example. You know, your kids obviously learn from you, especially in this type of, you know, behavior as well with hate and bias. I mean, kids learn from, you know, their parents.
From their parents.
You know, we did have a case recently where one of the, and it's an open case, so I can't really talk too much about it, but there was some tagging involved and some inappropriate things on a wall. And when, you know, just speaking, when we went to speak to the mother, you know, immediately, you know, because we didn't know for sure if this kid had done it or not. And, but when she heard the stuff, she immediately was like, oh, he's getting that from his father. You know, like my kid is not, you know, necessarily like that, you know, like a hate, you know, that he intentionally, you know, has hate against other races or anything like that. But she just knew immediately from what was going on that being around his dad, who unfortunately was, you know, saying something that the child was, you know,
picking it up,
absorbing that. So yeah. The child wasn't necessarily going out intentionally like harming anybody or doing anything, but, you know, he's picking up on that behavior. And, you know, the kids, unfortunately, with, you know, the bullying, the LGBTQ youth, they have 42% of them in a recent survey have experienced cyberbullying. 35% have received threats online, and 33% have reported sexual harassment online. And they have they're more than double usually more at risk for like the substance abuse, the self-harm, and the suicide rates, unfortunately, due to this type of behavior. And so the Safe Place program, you know, we want those businesses to be involved, to know that that's a safe place for that person to go. Like if they're out walking and they're being harassed in person or something, they'll know that that business is going to, you know, let them come in. They're going to, you know, they'll have a place for them to stay and wait. The business can report, you know, call the police for them if they want. And, you know, they're basically just that they're going to have a safe and supportive environment to wait for the police in, you know, instead of, you know, wandering the streets or trying to, you know, hopefully, you know, figure out who they need to call to help them or something like that.
Yeah, 911 is always a good resource. And I think people don't realize, I grew up in the Archie Bunker era when, you know, this was an everyday type of conversation and approach to life. That's not appropriate anymore. And, you know, people get offended, and people were offended back then. They just didn't say anything because what was the point? But, you know, things like this, acting like this, behavior like this can, like you said, lead somebody to start taking drugs, to feel really bad about themselves, go into these dark places where they feel like there's no hope. And there is hope and there is help.
Right. And this can be adults too. I know we talk a lot about youth, but, you know, I mean, nobody wants to be, you know, harassed or threatened, you know, for what they believe in or for, you know, who their, you know, significant other is or whatever they're doing. You know, they just want to be, live their life and be safe, and they should be, you know. And so hopefully, you know, getting the community involved, you know, is no really no different from, like, you know, when we were doing the sex trafficking stuff. It's about community support, you know, and awareness and becoming involved. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to make a difference.
And that's the big thing, is being aware, being educated on it, and never stop learning. I mean, I don't care how old you are, never stop learning, because everybody else is evolving. And if they evolve and you're not evolving with them, then you're going to be left behind. And that's not a good place to be, because there's a lot of information out there. There's a website you can go to, stopbullying.gov.
Yes.
Which, you know, has a lot of information on it. There are statutes in the state of Arizona regarding bullying. So, revised statutes, general powers and duties, immunization and delegation is Arizona Revised Statute 15-341. You can always look up your statutes and find out, hey, if I do this, I might end up in jail because it's against the law. So be aware of what your laws are, too, in your community.
There's another site, it's called Connect Safely. There's a parent's guide to cyberbullying on there. And a lot of this includes information about LGBTQ youth also. So if parents, you know, have a youth and that is involved in that, they can get information on them. Because it's going to be the same, but they're obviously more susceptible and the numbers can be a little bit higher for them, unfortunately. So we want to make sure that parents, you know, have some resources for them as well. And then again, our email that Detective Martinez said, it's hatecrimes@tucsonaz.gov. It's a non-emergency email, obviously, but if anybody wants to get involved or has, you know, non-emergency information they want to pass along, like maybe they see a particular area getting graffitied or something all the time, they don't really want to call 911, they can report that there, things like that.
If they had a question, could they email a question to you and get a response?
Definitely.
So, yeah, that's a great resource. If you just have a question you want a response to or understand how to do something, you find yourself in a situation where, hey, what do I do?
Right.
Send an email and you'll get a response.
Yeah, we made it, all of us. It comes to all of our desks. All of us are run it, so somebody will always be looking at it. And it's basically a way to communicate with the community on, you know, questions or information on this type of subject matter that's, again, a non-emergency.
Can schools call you and say, hey, can you make a presentation at our school?
Definitely, yeah. Once we get everything together, we'd be more than happy to come on and do some training.
So you're going to be leaving in a couple of weeks, and you're going to be, is that when you're going to be developing these presentations?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Do they already have one that you can, like, plagiarize?
I believe so, yeah. He actually has a lot of content on the Seattle PD website. So you can see a lot of that stuff there, and obviously he's given us a lot of that stuff too.
So there's another resource for you. If you want to get ahead of the game, go to the Seattle PD website. And yeah, I think every school should have a class on this.
Definitely.
Because it's so relevant. So what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Stay out of the sun.
Yeah,
stay out of the sun.
It's going to be a hot day. Wear your sunscreen.
Absolutely. What are your plans for the rest of the day, Gil?
Got none right now.
You're going back to bed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want everybody to remember that we've got two great fundraisers coming up. The Beauty from Ashes Ranch is doing a fundraiser on the 6th of September. And Law Matters, we are doing our first fundraiser on the 8th, and it'll be a Sunday brunch. So, you know, you can stay out late the night before and hopefully you'll be able to make it. still go to the Sunday brunch, and Eric Brower will be there at both these fundraisers, and he's going to talk to us about sex trafficking, his legal actions against Backpage, how that affected him and his entire family, but how it really affected the sex trafficking industry. And it was pretty amazing. And also the FBI takedown of Backpage. And that isn't the end of sex trafficking, as Jennifer will tell you. They just find another means of doing it. And we all have to be on our toes. And
Absolutely. Some of the things,
we only have a few seconds left, but some of the things people need to watch out for with sex trafficking, even if your kid lives at home, if they're coming home with, you know, like expensive jewelry or things that you know they couldn't afford, you might want to question them.
Absolutely.
On what's going on in their life and who their friends are.
Be aware. That's like the tagline on all of our posts on our Facebook, you know, awareness.
Awareness. Be educated and don't let anybody take advantage of you, and stop taking naked pictures of yourself and posting them all over the internet. It just doesn't make sense. Cut it out. Okay. Until next week, I want you to shop local, stay safe, and we'll see you next Saturday. I can't remember who's coming on, but it'll be a good show. We'll talk to you later.